Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The question is, most people are gripped with fear regarding the uncertain unrest on the June 30th. What should we be doing as an Ummah at this stage?
There is pure speculation that most people have fear. Maybe 2%, and that 2% perhaps is the people that you know of. 98% are carrying on normal, doing their work, etc., etc. It's fear mongering, creating fear. And politicians and the media is doing their work. Their work is to incite. Because if the media just gives the news plain, there is some trouble, watch out, then it's not going to sell. So media is a business. And the business has to be striking. You say breaking news. What must have happened? One fly must have killed one mosquito. So now that's breaking news. So the way they dramatize it, that you will buy that news. So you just give it in simple words, it can't sell. See, when Allah Pak speaks about the munafiqeen, right? وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ. When you see them, then the exterior pleases you, impresses you. So they dress very well. And that's both the global politicians. It doesn't have to be South African. South African politicians are very good people. Allah will keep them well. But global, you just heard now, the Trump, right, in about 1 month, 40 times vocalized. The whole media is talking about it, the whole world is talking about it, and still he's triumphing. So their work is more or less identical to the work of a munafiq. So the outward appearance, the status, that's what they're concerned about. How they appear, how they look, they dress very fine. وَإِنْ يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعَ لِقُولِهِمْ. But when they speak very fine words. Very refined way they speak. So that also impresses you. You want to buy their story. Whereas, when I look at it, it's just actors. You know, they learned how to put up an act in a different situation. I know around the 70s, so there was a... or there was this United Nations meeting, you know. So, at that time, it was clashing with Pakistan's Bhutto, right? So now, so he just storms out of that United Nations meeting, says, oh, my nation, they hearken for me, I have to go for them. Then, after that, they're showing, in another picture they're showing, yeah, my nation, you know, see this poor person, he pulls out his sword and gives it to him. Everybody gives a big clap. So now the votes come for him. So what is this? It's all just acting. So the enactor is seen just to create a certain impression, a certain response. And then we are the buyers. When we look at all that action, we say, no, it's true, what they're doing is right. So we can't be suckers for all type of information, all type of news coming from anywhere and everywhere. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ يَقُولُتْ كَأَنَّهُ خُشُوبٌ مُسَنَّدًا. But Allah Pak likens them like pieces of timber that's propped up. Rotten timber, imagine. If it's propped up, it's of no use. Can it stand on its own? Can't stand on its own. So this is the example of this type of people. I say it's two types, two classes of people. One is the media and one is the politicians. They're doing their day. You do your day, you work, let them do their work. Right? يَحْسَبُونَ كُلَّ صَيْحَةٍ عَلِيمٍ. They hear one cry, they get alarmed, you know. Because they know they're playing a game. Now someone just shouts, so they get alarmed. They feel that every cry is against them. So Allah Pak قَاتَلَهُمْ اللَّهُ هُمُ الْعَدُوُ. They are your enemies. May Allah Ta'ala destroy them. How are they turned away? But nonetheless, people that have already become victim to all this, what should they do? They already become victim. So I say, by don't incite, don't provoke. Someone is provoking, inciting trouble, let him carry on. You don't incite, you don't provoke. Right? Musa alayhi salam's people also cried, Uzina min qabli an ta'tiyana wa min ba'di ma ji'tana. We had trouble always. Before you could come to us, then someone saw a dream that a fire is coming out from the houses of the Bani Israel and eating up all the Egyptians. So Pharaoh got a scare of his life. That means we're going to be eaten up by our slaves. Bani Israel was just like the slaves. So he began to slaughter all children. Any child born, kill him. Then again, that story about when the magicians came to challenge him, and Musa alayhi salam's python ate everything, swallowed everything. So again, they start slaughtering. Nuqattilu abna'ahum. So they're crying now. Before you came, then to your trouble. After you have come, then to your trouble. So Musa alayhi salam reassured them, Asa rabbukum ayyuhlika adubakum. This is Africa, that is also Africa. Allah Pak will just now wipe out your enemy. وَيَسْتِخْلِفَكُمْ. And then he'll appoint you as vicegerents. You will replace them. But it is not just a show here. فَيَنْزُورَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. Now you're complaining about them, so Allah Pak replaced them. You replace them. Now you're going to say how you behave. You're complaining about these people here, but how do you behave? You also want to dance, booze, and everything else. Then what's the difference between you and them? And then the third thing he told them, إِسْتَعِينُوا بِاللَّهِ. This is what you must do, right? In the state of fear, when you're defenseless, you don't have the arms, ammunition, power, strength, you don't have. So what do you do? إِسْتَعِينُوا بِاللَّهِ. Ask Allah Pak's help. Really, those that have done this, they found within their minds, within their feelings and hearts, they found a total relaxation. That means, when I think about it, it's just a hype. It's very little substance. I won't say there's no substance, but very little substance. But the weakness is we didn't turn to Allah Ta'ala. Right? إِسْتَعِينُوا بِاللَّهِ وَاسْبِرُوا. Be firm in your ways, in your deen. Then don't shirk in your duties. What's your deen? Duties, do it. On time, everything. Whatever Allah Pak requires of you. The third thing is very, very important. Understand, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ. This whole world belongs to Allah Pak. It doesn't belong to Trump or his grandfather. No, it doesn't belong to anybody. It belongs to Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Pak will place in position whoever he wants. Today it's 1 year, tomorrow that this person is troubled, this person comes in his place, Allah Pak does it. But the world, understand, belongs to Allah Ta'ala. But the way we carrying on, hey, these people are the majority, they call the shots, they will make it. But Allah Pak is saying, Al-Arda Lillah. And he's saying it with emphasis, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ. The whole world belongs to Allah Ta'ala. Why? Understand. Don't you believe Allah Ta'ala? Don't you trust Allah Ta'ala? He's telling you, it belongs to me. يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And I will put into position who I want. So when it belongs to Allah Ta'ala, then who you supposed to be crying to? يُورِثُهَا. And then he says that the whole discussion has been closed. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And you want good results, then that's with taqwa. Restrain yourself from anything that will cause the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. You can see that four things. Istareenu billah. Ask Allah Ta'ala. Asbiru. Third thing, the earth belongs to Allah Ta'ala. And he gives it to whoever. And but the good results is for taqwa, restrain. You practice restraint, you will get it. He practice restraint from the displeasure, he'll get it. So do what you need to do. Again, when they made dua, so the dua was asked, Ujibat da'watukuma, fastaqima, then remain steadfast. وَلَا تَتَّبِعَانِي سَبِيلَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. You don't follow these kafirs, what? لَا تَتَّبِعَانِي, don't follow their ways. Now, when it was the Africana government, then you wanted to be a white, right? So you get all the rights. With the whites, then we rights. Then you wanted the apartheid. Now it became the black government, now affirmative action. You want to do that. So don't swing around. Remain firm. Mustaqima. Don't follow these things here. Did Nabi Sam leave you as orphans? What? So why you listen to this one and that one and that one? He left you very wealthy. Look, find out, see what he did under circumstance. Makkah, what did he do? Did he have a balancing act? Today let's act like kafirs now, tomorrow let's act like Muslims, going into faith. Did he do all that? He said it clearly. La abudu mata. I got nothing to do with you. You have nothing to do with me, and I got nothing to do with you. Made it very clear. Right. Then the third piece of advice Musa Isa gave. Ij'alu buyutakum qibla wa aqimus salah. What? You do your namaz properly. What? Every coming namaz, let it be better than the previous namaz. So these are the 5-6 things. Istra'inu billah, wasbiru innal arda lillah, yurisuha, and wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen, and wala tattabi'ani sabeel al-lazeen la ya'lamun, and ij'alu buyutakum qibla, qim salah. Do your namaz. You hear the story so many times you hear, a man is helpless, man is coming with the arrow to kill him, to rob him. So let me do 2 rakat namaz. And before you know it, that man is killed. So where is our yaqeen? Where is our trust? We keep talking about these things here until we talk about something, you know, how it works. First it's a speech, right? Then it's a thought. Then it's an imagination. Then you begin to hallucinate. Then the unreal becomes real. But that's how it works. First it's a discussion. Then it's a thing, it's a thought, then it's an imagination, then you hallucinate, then you progress. On the lighter side, you know, Miasam, that time, there's very few ulama, so we used to go and do Tarawih in Alexandra, right? So, on the way to Alexandra, there was a drive-in. You know that big bioscope there, open air ice bioscope. He was small, 15, 16 years of age. And now one of the satis, he's looking at that thing. I told him, don't look at that thing. Please, I can see it's something to do with murder and all that, right? People like all this thing here. You look at that thing, it's going to trouble you at night. He didn't listen, carry on looking for, you know, as you're driving slowly. So 3-4 minutes he's watching everything. Now after Isha, we're sitting and drinking tea and all that, you know, how after the Ravi, some tea, a biscuit, all that, eating all that. And this boy, it was his habit to go and sleep on me. Now, while we're having tea, he jumped up from his bed, fast as he was, help me, he's coming for me. See this? It's from a thought, from a discussion, to a thought, to hallucination, and to reality. But trust Allah, where Allah has gone then? Huda ka kahan, kya hua? Why don't we trust? Why don't we ask? Why don't we beg of Allah Ta'ala? There's a whole plan that's given in the Quran. Do we listen to it? We'll listen to the news, social media, as though that is the wahi. That's the gospel. But do we listen to Allah's word as though that's a reality? So that's the problem that yaqeen is gone. That's why they say, come in jamaat, get your yaqeen right. Leave all this. Even jamaat now, they have to warn people now, please leave your phone, smartphone, that. It's no longer smart now. Leave the thing. Believe in Allah Ta'ala, believe in the Quran, the message of Allah Ta'ala, what Nabi Sam did.
What is the benefit of listening to Salat and Salam like we just did now?
What is the benefit of listening to Quran Sharif recitation? This benefit, isn't it? That's the word of Allah Ta'ala. This is the word of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Salat and Salam is from the lips of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Like you're listening to Quran Sharif, the words of Allah Ta'ala. These are the words of Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anything greater than listening to the exact words, that Salat al-Salam is this one that we are reading, is the 40 Salawat al-Salam coming from the Mubarak lips of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Can you think of anything better after the Quran Sharif?
A certain person is proposed in a certain family and people already know about the proposal. I know something bad about the boy or girl. Is it my duty to inform the other party even though I'm not asked about it?
It may be, it is just your guess. It may be that was the person's past. It may be that person has corrected his life. So I fall into it. There's all possibilities, isn't it?
How does one get close to his sheikh? What are some examples of things to make mashura with the sheikh about?
See, the bedrock, the whole essence of the tasawwuf is akhlaq. Because akhlaq is like the foundation. Right? What akhlaq refers to? Not about speak to you nicely, talk to you, laugh and talk normal. Akhlaq is about 10 points. Show, ostentation. Right? Then pride, jealousy, greed, malice, right? Gratitude, then humility, content with Allah Ta'ala, right? Content with Allah Ta'ala, full submission to Allah Ta'ala, right? No self-admiration. So it's about 10 points. So this is now the foundation. Now, initially, if you look at the previous Sufiyah Kiram, they used to first work on this thing here. And when the person is a little bit grounded in this, then they'll administer zikr, etc. Then the zikr takes its full effect. But if these things are not right, right, then their tahqiq was that if it's not fully right, and you're just making zikr, so the zikr creates certain feelings, you know, you feel high. You think I'm flying very high now, you know. And you don't know that there are a lot of weaknesses still that have to be corrected. So the second generation of Sufiya Kiram said, well, let's start on the zikr. But with zikr, they must also work on the akhlaq. So parallel to the zikr is akhlaq. So if you're correcting this, then you're correcting this also. So it's like two wheels, and it has to function on two wheels. If it's just going to work on one wheel, then you're not going to get the desired results. Because you're doing things, but the akhlaq is not right. When the akhlaq is not right, then you've got a malice for that person. You've got jealousy for this person. Can you progress? You've got pride about yourself and arrogance. Can you progress? Can't. So it has to go hand in glove. Akhlaq and zikr. Now, then when you speak to your sheikh, then you talk about things that are not clear in your akhlaq. For example, you tell your sheikh that, you know, outside I'm a very good person, but at home I'm like a monster. I fight, I argue over small things. I originally was saying, hey, you know, I had so good dream, I saw this, I saw you, and I saw so. But all the problems that you're creating at home, you're not talking about it. The arguments that you have with your sati, small things, fighting, arguing, you're not talking about that things. So you must discuss these things that I'm temperamental, I don't do things as I'm supposed to be doing, I'm not thankful, I'm not appreciative, right? My wife does so many things, small mistakes, and I can just bring down the roof. So, do we discuss these things with the sheikh? So these things that are not in line with the Mubarak Akhlaq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Mubarak Akhlaq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sum it up in three words. Tirmidhi Sharif comes. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam committed himself to three things. One is, he was never proud and arrogant at any time. At any time. Number two, he didn't want to pick a fight, argument, fight, argument, dispute, all this thing. He just left it out complete. From childhood right to the end. Never pick a fight, argue, debate, get into an argument. No, that was not his way. Number three, the third thing that was very prominent in him, tarku ma la ya'ni, he left out things that didn't concern him. So now, these are three pointers that you can check yourself, and then you relate to your sheikh, alright, these are things, I'm getting discussions. There's no dini faida, there's no akhirat faida. Talking about the cup final, who won? As though the kabar, the munkar, nakir will ask you, hey, you know, Liverpool won, did you know about that? Huh? You're not going to get sawab because you didn't know the goals. Huh? South Africa versus America, for example, right? And they won. You didn't even know about that. You know, who's the Prime Minister of Australia? You don't even know about that. Which earth are you living? They're not going to ask you in the kabar. They're not asking the akhirat. So leave all these things that don't concern you. And life will be so much more enjoyable when you leave all these things. People say, you don't know general knowledge. You don't know about these things. Daily, day-to-day things you don't know about. So let them say, so they are not Allah Ta'ala. They're not going to come and question you. Why should you be concerned about what impressions they have of you? So today's life is, you're living in the minds of people. What will people think? How will they say? You had wedding like that, didn't have it like this. So, you're living your own life, or you're living in the minds of people, not aware of them.
What is their effort to increase iman and to acquire jazb?
One, the hadith says, Jaddidu imanikum bila ilaha illa. Read la ilaha illa in abundance. Number two, join the company of the people of la ilaha illa. Zikr, you can see now, they've got zikr. They are humble, they're following the sunnah. Right? They got an aversion, strong aversion to dunya, and a great like for the akhirat. Hadith speaks about a strong aversion to the dunya, and a great liking for the akhirat. So I was explaining to some person today. It's not wrong to desire for the world, but if the world is, worldly things are acquired haram, that's wrong, right? But if it's that you are consumed with that, you know, world, then I ask you, will you be thankful to Allah? You got enough eating, drinking, everything well. But how, Allah, he got this, you never give me this. So will you be showing gratitude or you'll be ungrateful? So not being grateful, is it a reward or is it wrong?
As a child at home, what must I do when every day there is fighting in the house and sometimes it includes my parents?
Sometimes?
Includes my parents. The parents are fighting at home.
What parents are fighting?
Yeah.
I told this thing to a lot of youngsters. Please, in your parents' fights, you don't be the referee. In the presence of your mother, alone, speak good about your father. Father is such a good man, like that, like this. In front of your mother, father is a very good person, excellent person. That's what you can do straight away. Make dua, start talim in the house. Make zikr, leave out pictures. See, it's difficult to see, but it's a fact, right? But the phone, the smartphone especially, when I look at it, right, because of the problems that I'm hearing, to me it seems whatever tricks shaitan had, he jammed it up into this phone. Everything that he had, he put into the phone. And you feel so proud of having this thing. There is a Quranic law, ismuhuma akbaru min naf'ima. The harm is greater than the good. You don't say that there's no good, you're doing your business on that, right? But you think, in a clear mind, right? No, not preconceived, no prejudice, absolutely clear mind. Sit, antaqumu lillah. Stand up alone with Allah Ta'ala. And then think to yourself, between you and Allah Ta'ala, are the harms greater or the goods greater? You must come to the conclusion that the harms are far greater. Whoever can say whatever, but between you and Allah, stand alone by Allah Ta'ala, stand in your grave and think to yourself, is the harm greater or the good greater? We will not dispute that there is no good, but the harms. So this thing is causing a lot of fight, a lot of fight. How it happens, I can explain to you, but I think everybody knows also how the fight happens. Everybody knows about it. Now you saw one girl there. She's so pretty, and you're comparing her to your wife. Huh? So you went to the bazaar, and you saw Kentucky. Hey, so nice and all that. This one here is making masoor and mug. So will you appreciate your wife then? No one appreciate. Here is just the cover. The cover you're looking at, that's what you're looking at. And then you don't appreciate your child, you don't appreciate your wife, you don't appreciate the home. Why? Because you're looking at the wrong things. So this, to me, this is the biggest shaitan that I've come across. I'm not talking just on speculation. I'm speaking on fact. What I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, the mail that I'm receiving, is a genuine fact. This is the root of, I would say, over 90% of our problems. But nobody has to accept it. No, we don't look at wrong things. And then it goes into the hands of the child. I see sometimes children playing around. And I don't see these things. But you can make out this child was exposed to some cartoon. That means you can make it out. From his brain you can make it out. Then you're looking at children, right? And they are trying to engage in some indecent activity, right? Where they got it, you go and question something like that. So they saw something in those things here. What they saw, they're trying to imitate. Now you're wondering why my child is doing this type of things. I didn't teach him. But you expose him to this type of stuff. Now he's just carrying out what he's seen. You think, no, he became a house, let me give him a phone. And then what do you expose him to? The biggest shaitan. In no time, he forget his Quran. So, did you deem a service or a disservice? That is one of the greatest things. And the second is this modern life, right? Modern life, eating processed foods and going out to eat. I don't see it's haram. I don't see anybody. But some reliable people come, you know, they come here. They say, well, hey, if you know what goes back in those restaurants, top notch, you know, you don't want to eat. I say, what do you mean? You know, I ask these people, what do you mean? I didn't eat from these places here. So they say, you know, one man is telling me that his friend called him, top notch restaurant, you know. So he went there. So he said, let me show you the whole restaurant, how it works, the back and everything. Now, in the back of the restaurant, he's telling me, he went there and he saw some people, workers now, they got plastic bags on their feet and they're marinating the ghosts. He's actually showing me like this. Then they marinating the ghosts and all that, and now it's hot now because all the heat there. So the sweating. That's the additional flavor. So you're eating all this type of stuff, and then you want to know why I'm acting like that. One woman, I told her over the phone, please, for love's sake, leave the sugars, and your child will be a better person. After about 4 months, you know, I tried it. The sugars really, it makes a child hyper. You don't realize it. Start off kitab reading, Quran Sharif, zikr. Jo kaam karne ka hai, to karte nahi. What you're supposed to do in the house, you're not doing. So then, they say in Farsi, khana-e khali ra, dev mi girat. When that house is empty of zikr, Quran Sharif, Talim, Quran and Dua, etc., namaz, then the jinnas overtake that house. I'm going to go run to this alim here, this one amil here. That's it's a temporary fix. It's just suppressing the symptoms. 2 months time again, then he came again. But what are you supposed to be doing? Are you doing that?
How does a married student keep a complete and beautiful balance between his wife and kitabs?
إِنَّ الْإِلْمِ آفَاتْ وَأَوَّلُهَا التَّزَوُّجْ.
Why do our kabir not encourage physical activity, combat training within the law? This seems to be part of our deen also.
Our kabir now, they made Thursday after Saturday holiday, we do all the combat, all the training. But we made qaza of the week to it there. And the Sunday after also they give a whole holiday. Or do that thing. Well, they must give taaleem, they must do combat, they must do exercise, everything. But tum bhi kuch karo. What they could do, they managed to do. They did. Now you also do something. You're not a small baby now. Or do combat, madrasa, everything. You do something. What they could do, they did. Is that fair for them to ask the same of a question?
It is said that the Hajri Aswad has a sealing effect. I feel that I have misused my eyes in the Haram Sharif. Now I feel as though the sealing effect is continuing with me. What should I do?
Don't say that. Don't use anything in your defense. If people use, you know, that person abused me, therefore I'm abusing. But that's just a cover. You can use that in court. You know, I committed murder because that person committed this murder. I saw that. So will they accept that? But you would work hard and nothing is difficult for Allah Ta'ala. He can eliminate. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jamia. He will eliminate and He will forgive all sins. When that is His promise, then don't you believe in Him. Try hard, cry, work. Under the guidance of someone that's experienced, understanding, he knows about these things here. Work with him. You've got a heart problem, you're not going to sort yourself out. You go to someone that's experienced, understanding, is what long-standing experience, you'll go to him, then you'll find an opening. After all the guna that they did in Makkah Mukarramah, right, they were in the Haram Sharif. Then they became Sahaba Kiram, all of them became radiyallahu anhu. Didn't they become? They try. This now, hey, we do all these things, you know, how is there any road for us? Did you see that? That road is shaitan. Lai asumir ruhillah, it's only shaitan, kafir, that becomes the despondent of the Masih. Try, work.
For years now, Hazrat Mufti Sahib has been speaking about the importance of the effort of tabligh. Despite this, we don't have the desire and courage to join the effort and strive in the path of Allah Ta'ala. How do we get ourselves ready for this effort?
Small steps, then big steps. Start off one day, 3 days, 10 days, Jamaat programs have sit down there, right? Kitab reading, sit down. Then there's a small step. Come with a clear mind, ask Allah Ta'ala. And as you take the small step, you'll be inspired to the bigger step. Gradually.
In which avenues can the youth entertain themselves? They are full of energy and they don't have the ability to be dedicated to ibadat all the time.
Nobody said make ibadat all the time. A lot of things you can do. Exercise, physical, right? A lot of things you can do. See, there's two words that are used in the Quran. Lahu and Laib. One is an activity, a sport or an entertainment with no fayda. Now for little small children, 3-4 years old, you overlook them. They bring carom board, they bring ludo, snake and ladder. So we overlook it. Why small children? Plastic scooter or they playing. But now, 20-year-old man is working, bring a plastic scooter, bring ludo and carom board, say, hey, why? Sala akkal kolo. It's a pastime, but small little children, they're doing it, or if you overlook it. But as a grown-up person, 10, 15 years of age, now you can't be doing all these type of things. So the second type of sport is a sport. The first has got no benefit. The second one has got some level of benefit, like playing soccer, for example. So you're going to run, chase, all that, so that's some benefit. But by and large, the idea is just a pastime. So it's not a thing to be investing your time into. Look at the broader picture. That's a kafir's way, that the prime time, you know, we were studying in India, 1976. So there was some cup final in Calcutta. So one friend is telling me, you know, the commentator, what he said. So what did he say? He said, you know, saying that at a prime time, on a weekday, on a prime business hour, right, they paid up to 1,000 rupees. That time 1,000 was a lot of money, right? Because the salary that time was about 300 rupees. So they paid 1,000 rupees in the black to go and see a match at prime time. Absolute futile. Kya fayda hua? If you do something, there's a lot of things you can do. You can run around, walk, sprint. A lot of exercise you can do. There's nothing short. But understand how to do it and do it. I do exercise every day. Nobody knows, but I do about at least about 20 minutes, half an hour of exercise. Every day I do. Now, you want to do it by, you can do it. You can do it. Anything you want to do, you can do it. But you don't want to do a thing, then there's a million excuses. But how can I do it? What mustn't do? But you want to do it, you'll start off. You'll start off straight, you'll do something.
Is it better for people to wear the topi that the sheikh wears or to wear the turban generally that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wore?
Both are good. See, al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. Hadith says, a man will be grouped with the people that he likes. So he likes his seniors, right? He feels that perhaps they may be closer to the sunnah. So I'll wear that. And nothing is, you know, to put the topi and a turban, there's no problem. The topi can go with the turban. Is there a nisbat and tabayun? Topi can't go with the turban. Topi can be worn with the turban.
Can a few questions came on this hurmat and musahara. Can Hazrat Mufti Sahib explain exactly what this is?
وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا مَا نَكَحَ آبَاؤُكُمْ. So that's an academic level, but it's not going to the academic. But you touched a woman, perhaps, right? You touched her with lust, and you felt the heat, right? So that woman's descendants and ascendants become haram to you. See, it becomes like your wife, because you touched her with lust. When you touch her with love, then the children, grandchildren, everything become haram. Like if you married someone, then her children all become haram. And similarly, her mother, father, mother-in-law, the grandmother all become haram.
Can Hazrat Mufti Sahib please explain the concept of fana?
Fana is what fana galo, eh? See, Fana is one of the primary requirements for progress in Tasawwuf. Primary requirements. That means you don't have a mind of your own, right? As though you have drowned your thought into the thinking of the person that you considered that was senior in Sunnah, in respect, in Deen, etc. You've drowned your thought in that. So you don't have a mind of your own any longer. Right? So that's about the most rapid and the most swift way to progress in this path. I don't have a mind of my own. Simplest way I'm putting it, I don't have a mind of my own. I got an elder, I will consult with him, I'll refer to him, I will do what he says. Thinking that he understands the Sunnah better, his deen is stronger, zahiran and batiran. His deen and his understanding is better than what my understanding is, so I just throw the towel and I will just listen to what he has to say. Finish. No mind of my own. So that's a simple explanation. But then there's illustrations that what people did in order to get that level of fana. So you get nisbata ittihadi, nisbata islahi, ilqai, etc. It's a whole discussion on its own.
A man gets a second wife and he makes a precondition with her that after he dies she must not inherit so that the first wife doesn't come to know.
Oh, that is null and void. He can't say that. It's the law of Allah Ta'ala. The law of Allah Ta'ala supersedes everything else. Your thinking and your law is nothing compared to the law of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says that she inherits. When she inherits, and it's the law of Allah Ta'ala, then you can't cancel the law of Allah Ta'ala for your convenience, can you?
We know that it is haram to watch videos, etc. However, it is a very great weakness and we still do it. What should we do to stop it?
Break it. Haram, inshallah. Not haram to break it. Smartphone, video, all that is not haram. Break it, destroy it. If someone gave you a bottle of liquor, right, there is some benefit, isn't it? The bottle, you can use it. You know, just on the light side, lighter side. My one friend went for Jamaat, Pasa, uncle went for Jamaat. So he was returning, spent his 4 months and all that. He's charged up very well, coming to Bombay, those years now, 1970s. So in Bombay he saw one shop, Basa's bottle store. Hey, he was so angry, he said, I'm going to go and blast him just now. Fine, what's wrong? What do you want? What business? I'm selling used bottles. Selling used bottles. So in our terminology, bottle store is something else. In their terminology, bottle store is something else.
How do I acquire composure of the mind?
One of the better things is, please, for Allah's sake, don't get involved in things that don't concern you. What concerns you, your deen, your akhirat, your well-being, then put your mind to it and do it with calmness. Calmness means everything happens with time. Right? A small child now, he's 4 years of age, and his elder brother is 22, and the elder brother is a father already, right? So that child, the small child, 4 years of age, he is frantic, you know, why can't I have a child? So what do you tell him? Wait, you get a turn as well, you'll come up for age, you'll know what is life, you'll become responsible, then we'll pay you up, and you'll get a child, inshallah. So, by Allah Ta'ala, لِكُلِّ أَمْرِمْ مُسْتَقِرْ. Everything has a time. Time will come, and you will do it. Why should you hurry to get the result? Don't hurry. Work according to your capacity, according to what you can manage, and then you will have a chance. You will come to it. But the problem comes when I want that target, and I want it now. This is when I want this target, and I want it now. Then what will happen? You will swear this 1 year, that staff, this 1 year, supplier, customers, everything is going to be working out. Why? He made a target for himself. He must work moderately, and leave the results to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak will make it happen in His own time, in His own way. So you got that mind, and your mind is settled, then inshallah, nothing will trouble your mind. I was like, okay, why didn't you do this? What are you going to get out of it? When you go on, and I see this thing happening, I see something, the boss comes in, and he starts shouting, F and all that. When they go on, when the boss is gone, they start imitating you. I said this. I have a big joke about it. So you become like a circus for them. They're laughing within themselves, and you don't realize. So be calm, compose, think of better ideas. When you're composed, you get better ideas, and you'll do complicated things, you'll do it very simply.
Some people object to reading Quran Sharif at a very fast pace, especially in Ramadan. They say we should make tadabbur on the ayat of the Quran Sharif. How do we answer this?
Show me one Hafiz who makes tadabbur when he's reciting Quran Sharif. Can't make tadabbur. So our ulama say, you have three sets of recitation. What? One recitation for your hifz. You know, if a Hafiz student is making tadabbur and making hifz, how long will it take him? Take him years. Just to make Alif Lam Surah, right, Surah Baqarah, he can take him 2 years. But he has tafsir of this. This is Muftada, this is Khabar, this is Murakkab Idafi. And then what's the meaning? What is the Zahir, what is the Batin meaning? How long does it take? So, one level of recitation is to learn the word, what? To preserve the word, right? So, obviously there you can't make the dhabba. The second level of recitation is to, one is you learn the word, and now to repeat the word, because you learned, and to remember you have to repeat it. And you have to do a certain amount of dhuhr that you can remain a good hafiz. 5 sipara, 6 sipara, you can do it, so you remain. And the third recitation is for tadabbur. Tadabbur, you may do half a page, one page, and looking at it, understanding it, under someone, or if an alim, you're doing it yourself. And then you're looking at the zahir, and looking at the batin, looking at what Allah Pak is conveying to me. So that recitation is different. The hadith comes that you do it in less than 3 days, there's no tadabbur. That's a general law. But then there are those who can do some moderate level of tadabbur, even if they doing so much of recitation in the day. As Abdullah bin Zubair, Usman bin Ghani recite one Quran in one rakat of witr namaz. So they have no tadabbur. Ya tadabbur. Bukhari Sharif it comes, Dawud alayhi salam would ask his horse to be saddled, right? And as it's being saddled, he would complete the Torah from end to end. And the Torah is, my understanding is great, is more voluminous than the Quran Sharif. So what happened? Allah Pak put barakat in each time. He could do so much, he could achieve so much in that time. Our Wanifa Ramzan makes two khatam in a day. Now Bukhari also, at least one khatam in the day he was doing. So he's a compiler of hadith, but he's doing one Quran Sharif in the day. So they all knew this hadith, but yet they could manage it. It's the person that is reciting and he's not pronouncing the words rightly. He's eating up his words. That's a wrong thing. He's pronouncing it rightly. The tadabbur will not be all the time. That's why Ahmad ibn Hanbal was asked, what is the greatest act? It's a recitation of the Quran Sharif. بِفَهْمٍ وَتَدَبُّرٍ وَأَوْ بِغَيْرِ فَهْمٍ وَتَدَبُّرٍ. With understanding and tadabbur or without? He said both. With understanding and tadabbur and without understanding and tadabbur.
I am a student in the Darul Uloom. The more I study Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif, the more doubts I am getting. What should I do?
It's important for that student to have a personal ustad. And ustad who's so well grounded that you can eliminate all your doubts. Right? Now, either you're not studying it correctly, or either you're not referring to an ustad that can eliminate and rub out those doubts. She must have a problem. I started the tafsir in the masjid, Tom Masjid. I think it should be over 40 years. So some senior doctors, when they start listening, say, "Mawal, look, you started this, because we are doing the tarjama and the tafsir ourselves, and we had misunderstood the Quran." Now, they were doctors, they knew the language, but they couldn't understand it themselves. Now, they need someone to explain the whole thing. I was surprised now, you know, they know English so well, and yet they couldn't grasp the message. So you need someone to guide you.
We had thought to make musabaqat in khairat. We see many people giving up their place in the first saf. Is this a correct thing to do?
Let me ask you, if you're in the first saf and the imam of the haram is behind you, what will you do? You'll give him the place, isn't it? So it's possible that you get a double sawab. Why? Addallu alal khayri kafa'ilihi. You put him front and you made isar. So you gave him that place, right? So won't you get a sawab for giving that place? Right? In the books of fiqh, days, that in the days of Hajj, right, for the residents of Makkah Mukarramah, it's better that they don't make tawaf, allowing the people that came from abroad to do tawaf. So they left the right. So what was better? To make tawaf. But now, why is it recommended that they don't do the tawaf, so that the people that came from abroad, they can do the tawaf. They won't get a chance again. So, again, there is a thing like, you respect an elder. Elder Alim, I guess is the Imam of the Haram, right? Alim, Buzurg, you respect him. And when he comes in, then you put him in front. Don't you do that? Your father came, so you give him that place out of respect. So all these are acts of sawab. And I say something you practice also. Like I said, if the Haram Imam came in, main Imam came in, top Imam came, what do you do? You sit in your place.
How can I get my parents and grandparents to leave out sins?
To?
Leave out sins.
Same thing, you know, I said, start off kitab reading, zikr, Quran Sharif, namaz. Do that on the house, cry to Allah Ta'ala. In time, that house will be covered with nur, with rahmat and with barakat. And they will feel that sin to be nauseating. Now you want to tell them, they said, it will be fight then. Won't you? Shall you start telling them what happened? They'll fight with you. So then can you live in that house? So they say in Farsi that don't make the next person's house your house. What? Don't you behave as though it's your house. It's the next person's house. You behave here. And you have some limits, limitations. You act within your limitation, carry on. It's your own house, you can do what you want. But it's the next person's house, say, who are you to come and tell me? And there'll be a fight. So you do this amal, and you find a good moment, you speak to them, discuss with them.
We find in the South African madrasa syllabus the fields of mantik and ilmul kalam have been neglected, whereas we read in RBT that our kabir were masters in falsafa, etc. How do we explain this?
There were two views amongst the akabir. One person came to Gango and Hazrat asked him, "Are you studying Dioban? What are you doing?" "Doing mantik." So Gango's answer was, "Main gu aur mut ke mutalik push nahi raha hoon. I'm not asking about number one and number two. I'm asking about Quran, Hadith and Fiqh." So some discouraged it, and they discouraged it severely, because they saw the damaging effect in many students who don't have the sound understanding and the rooting in deen, right? They just learned philosophy and now they want to apply themselves, right? So they may not be able to apply themselves correctly. On a lighter side, one person is learning mantik, right? He doesn't know how to apply himself. So he's gone to a shop which presses oil. Old days now, they've got a lever and they've got a donkey strapped and that thing turns the lever. And he's got a bell round the donkey's neck. So the student is asking the oil man that why have you got this bell round the donkey's neck? He says, as long as it's ringing, I can carry on my work because I know it's moving. I know it's moving, right? So it's doing its work. But if it's stationary, it won't ring. So I know I'm back it again, it'll start moving. So the student Mantik is asking, but what if that donkey sits, stands on his place and do this? Then, say, you better get away from here, because my dog will be learning Mantik just now. So some felt that it is the better thing to learn Mantik so that you can apply yourself to any situation, you can find answers, solutions. Right? And more times I've also felt, but he didn't want it for everybody. The person who learnt it, but he knows how to apply himself. Otherwise he learnt it, and sometimes he can entertain doubts in his own iman. See, learn too much of philosophy, too much of science, etc., he can have doubts. So for that person they were discouraged. Right? Now why they don't do it in South Africa? All the madrasas. We are just one madrasa, but I'm telling you what we do. We don't offer it because of this reason. Because there's a lot of people now, they want to do it, they start it off. And then, as the 4 or 5 years in the madrasa, they got 20 and 100 takazas. You need to get married or children, someone's walima there, and to run for the wedding this idea. So they're not conducting themselves like the students in India. I know in India, the madrasa, you're not leaving the premise sometime for 2 years. Show me one South African student who say that I haven't left the madrasa for 2 years. Show me one. So by Pelatum Sida Hoja, you come straight, madrasa will help you. But you're not straight and all that. Kachumar, they must add this thing also to you. As it is now to get the students to come and make mutala write properly, not talk, not eat sweet and chocolate whilst they're doing, leave out vaping. That becomes a problem. I would all that add this thing.
What dua can I read to make my door strong?
Imam Hanifah Rahmatullah said, the main thing to get your memory strong is tarke layan, leave it out. Just leave out things that don't concern you. You'll find a lot of time. There was one man, not one, several people, they told me, I told him, hey, leave that phone, please, Allah Akbar sake, leave it out. First he told me, hey, I have so much of difficulty in reading one ruku. It's not one person's experience, so many people. For Allah Akbar sake, leave that phone. He said, but I do my business. You know, just leave it in the business, leave it there at the business, and then don't take it away with you. Now, several good people telling me, before I was having difficulty in reading one ruku, now 3 siparas, 4 siparas I can do easily, not hafiz. How they managed? Time is still 24 hours, how they managed? So what was eating at the time? You know, the average person, you talk about the screen time, right? You're talking about somewhat 8 hours, 9 hours screen time. Somewhat even more, 9 screen. So now, where would they have the Quran Sharif? She's a brain, understand how the brain works. Brain got a capacity, right? So you filled that brain with all the junk. Has it got a capacity for the Quran now? Say, I'm full now, I got no place, no space. So now you emptied that brain, now you got a lot of space. Quran Sharif, Zikr, Quran, Namaz. The past people, not even Buzurugs, they could manage to do 124,000 Zikr one day. When we were in India, there was one Bukhari living in, I think Ahmedabad. He was doing 1,000 rakats every day. 1,000 rakats every day, right? Yeah. So he was also a man. He had the same takaza like we had. I managed.
Is it jais to read Quran Sharif in a specific maqam if it is such that a person is reading without any ghulu or takalluf?
Without any?
Udghulu.
Certain maqam.
Yeah. Certain style of recitation.
I came across the different statements on the recitation. See, taghannu, right, to read with ghina, so the sweet voice. So I saw in the kalam of Hazrat Thami Sahib Rahmatullah and on the footnotes of Bukhari Sharif, Fakhruddin Gangohi. So you read with that, in that style, that fills your heart with awe and respect for Allah Ta'ala. So now, you understand, if you want to recite the Qur'an Sharif, that the Qur'an Sharif has a magnificent effect on your heart, about the fear, the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. Will your mind be more on getting a certain tune right, or seeing to that the awe of Allah Ta'ala, the presence of Allah Ta'ala, is not decreased? Where will your mind be? Ask me. Tell me. Now, the person is just worried about the tune, that his mind will be more in what? Tune. Not the awe, the presence, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. So we say, recite in a sweet voice, but to enhance the greatness, the fear, the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. So I see this. Mawlana Taizah was a great Qari. And in Madrasa Salatiyah he learnt under one of the greatest Qaris at that time. And our fortune is that my Ustad, Mufti Ibrahim Sanjalvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, he took his Qirat and Qiyan by Hazmat Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi. Ma first studied in Randel and he took his Imtihan there. Then he had moved to Dioban and then he qualified in Dabel. Shah Sahib had moved to Dabel.
Since the effort of Tabligh is so important, can Mufti Sahib please allow the students to attend the weekly Shab Guzari?
The more important work, more important thing is the fikr. What? The fikr. Under the circumstance that you are, how can I develop that fikr? Right? See, Yusuf al-Islam had the fikr. So he did tabligh. Where did he do tabligh? In prison. If you have that fikr, you do it. Otherwise, the fikr will be, run here, go Shab Guzari, then order some food from Spurs, take a small drive to this one here and that. Your whole intention will be flopped. So within the restrictions that you've got to the work, it will be a better worker, inshallah. I know some students, right? Within the restrictions they worked. Now, they are good workers, alhamdulillah. They didn't have to go Shab Guzari all the 6 years. They did that one day in the week. But now, you very seldom will find a person working like that person. Not taking his name. The way he does the work, a lot of people that went for 1 year and everything else, but they're not at the level of this person. So the idea is get the fikr. The fikr comes when you have a good respect for the elders of the work. My Ibrahim Devla, Tamad Barakatum, the elders of this, people that have experience, they got a consistent level of working. Look at them nicely, properly, carefully. And you'll see how magnificent they're doing the work. But if your mind runs, run here, run there, go see that, see this one here, then it'll be Shab Guzari ka naam aur apna kaam.
Is it permissible to consume products containing ethanol?
We discourage it personally. We discourage it. Now there's a lengthy bahas now. They call it, one is, what's the word they use? Industrial, and one is natural. So there's a whole discussion about what's the difference between the natural and the industrial. It's a whole discussion. But now, this is not a place to show all that fine talking. I can show that fine talking, but it'll take another 10 minutes. And there's so many papers there. Personally, we discourage it. Right?
Okay,
for the whole discussion. إِذَا غَلَى وَاشْتَدَّ وَقَذَفَ بِالزَّبْدِ نِيْءٌ مِنْ مَاءِ الْإِنَبْ. So, میں سمجھاتا رہوں تو میرا بارہ بج جائے گا. کیا رائے ہے؟
How do we create a perfect balance between dini and dunyawi matters without sacrificing both?
One has to be sacrificed for the other. Don't say without sacrificing both. You have to sacrifice some of your dunya, not entirely, some of your dunya for your deen. Because dunya is just a temporary convenience. 30 years, 40 years, 70 years, 80 years, and after you're out. And that is a permanent life. So what is temporary, then a temporary effort is required. What is lasting, a lasting effort is required. Don't say sacrifice, don't, without sacrificing either of the both. One has to be sacrificed. Now, winter comes, and I see, you know, in the morning, the sleep is so nice and sweet. But you have to sacrifice that. Summer comes, then you just hit the pillow, it's only feeder time. Night is so short. But you have to make a sacrifice, get up. That is so enticing now. I won that lottery, right? So enticing. A million men came on my side, right? So enticing, but I have to sacrifice it. So, in order to reach your destination with safety, you have to make the sacrifice. See? The whole Quran says, خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَنْ نَفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. You are afraid of standing before Allah Ta'ala, right? And you restrained yourself. See that? You restrained yourself. Not that you kept a balanced boat, no. You restrained yourself. And then there's a lot of things that are permissible that you can enjoy. You did all your things, you restrained yourself, and you continued.
What is the best form of showing gratefulness to Allah, shukr to Allah Ta'ala, being grateful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala?
اِعْمَلُوا عَلَى دَاوُدَ شُكْرًا وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. So, shukr, one is verbal, and the other is physical. So both, you show verbal and physical. Now, an easy way to show the physical one is, your father gave you a nice dafa kurta, came from Umrah. So 1,000 rand, 300 riyals he paid for it, and he brought it, right? Now, you take that kurta and start polishing your shoes. Is that showing appreciation? But, he said, no, my father bought this for me. I'll wear it on Jummah and I'll wear it Eid day. You know, my father will get so happy. So, it's a physical demonstration of shukr. So shukr physically and shukr verbally. So verbally, I'm so grateful that you bought for me, to the trouble, such an expensive one. You know, I just look at the thing, I admire the thing, to kiss the thing. How your father feels?
So this person is saying that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib mentioned that the xenophobia is 95% fear mongering. How do we reconcile when we see so many foreigners having to leave and so many people being killed and shops being looted?
Sometimes it's exaggerated news. A lot of times it's exaggerated news. So I'm hearing, not that I don't hear the news, I'm listening to it. Sometimes one person was killed and see 100 people was killed. So then from the 100, it go 200. So that becomes a reality. Sometimes it's a small thing and you make a big thing out of it. So now the social media has mastered that, and we became the slaves of social media. So they know how to exaggerate, and then we also learned something to exaggerate so that the news becomes more thrilling, sensational. News is all about sensation.
The brother is saying that someone asked me if I'm a proud South African or I'm a Muslim. I told him I'm a proud South African. Does this affect my iman?
I ask you, what's there to be proud of being a South African? Many a times people come here from America, New Zealand, or Canada and all that. So I ask them where your origins are. Someone say Pakistan, someone say from Bangladesh, someone say from this Arab country. So I say, why do you say so proudly that I'm an American? Why don't you say I come from Makkah Mukarramah, I come from... Isn't that you suffering from a complex? The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam liked that attribution is to be made to deen. What? So this is a Badri Sahabi, this is a Bayat Ridwan, he fought there. This person was in Uhud, this person was in Khandaq. So he liked that the person be attributed to his deen, not to dunya. So because all the other countries are kafir countries, so is there anything to be proud of belonging to a kafir? You belong to a kafir state, you're supposed to be proud of it. No, you know, I'm a green card holder. What's so proud about it? What's to be proud about it? Then you see now, the zoom that America is doing to the foreigners, right? Are you proud about it? So, innaum la imanalhum, generally the kafir has got no scruples. Today he could be your side, tomorrow the other side. So is that something to be proud about? Is be proud, this Labak blessed me with iman. I can't find anything greater than that. Qul bifadlillahi wa birahmatihi wa bidhalika falyafrahu. If you want to rejoice, you want to be proud, then with the grace of Allah Ta'ala and His mercy. So what is the meaning of fadlillah wa rahmatihi? Ulama say, is the Quran and the Hadith. That Allah Pak blessed me with the Quran, Allah Pak blessed me with the Hadith. I'm so grateful about it, I'm so happy, I rejoice about that. Anything else, is it anything to be proud about? You have a million times South African, but no iman. Anything to be proud about. Or you have a million times non-South African, right? You're from Bangladesh. But you had good iman, and you had good values. Is that not a thing to be really great about? On the day of Qiyamah, أَنَّ لِلَّذِينَ جَمِيعًا, these kafirs had the whole world full of gold, right? They would offer it to get out of Jahannam. See that? So is it any worth? Not worth. Yes, we attribute to deen, to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to some cause of deen. That's something great, alhamdulillah, it was a grace of Allah.
Is it permissible to go to Qirat programs where the reciters cut their beards?
What?
Qirat programs where the Qurra that are reciting, they trim their beards and their kurtas are below their ankles. Is it permissible to go to those programs?
If the Mulana is giving a talk and he's trimming his beard, shaving his beard, or make it more easier for you to understand, right? He's giving a bayan, but he's vaping also one time. He's giving a bayan, so you will listen to that bayan. So what's wrong? What's the difference between this and this? Is give a bayan, is vaping. I'm just chilling down. Bayan is too hot. So what's the difference between the both? Is there any difference? Huh? Or he's reciting the Quran Sharif and he's sipping a little bit of beer also. Society will listen to that. So why? He's also manifesting haram and he's also a manifestation of haram. Isn't he manifesting haram? And isn't this person manifesting haram? So what's the difference? So why are we being selective? Sunya now will go with it and Sunya will leave it out. So is that right to have a selective approach?
Is it permissible to play football with the intention of improving one's fitness?
I don't encourage and I don't discourage. Ikar nami kunam. I don't do this and I don't encourage it. Right? Because it's just a waste of time. You start off doing that, then you want to watch the sport, then you want to shout, say, fight. Then sometimes you're playing the sport now. It's just before namaz time. You're scoring a goal. And you're sweating coming to the masjid, stinking. I all these things I watch, right? So I don't say it's haram, but I don't encourage it as well. But I'm seeing it's eating onto your dini works. Your dini works are getting all neglected just because of this. There's a fight, you know, talk, you know, verse this team wants to verse that one, have a tournament, see the cup final. It doesn't stop. You don't have to draw the line.
If a student wants to get married and he doesn't have the means while studying, what should he do?
He grows up. Amal mistati fa'alehi bisiyam. Can't manage, keep grows up.
What is the correct method of making dua?
You start off with the praise of Allah Ta'ala, then durood on the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, thereafter ask for yourself, your immediate people, your ustads, and general Muslims, and then end up with Durood Sharif and with Sana, with the expectation that Allah Pak will answer your dua, and not being hurried to see the dua is answered, and the dua mustn't contain any haram elements. What? The dua mustn't contain any haram elements. Allah Pak, his business, close it up, my business didn't prosper. So is it right?
Is it the responsibility of a madrasa to make the tarbiyat of a student? And if so, what guidelines are there for an ustad to make the tarbiyat of the students?
The tarbiyat nowadays is like for us, right? A simple start is at least 2 minutes, 3 minutes. The things that you notice, current times, right? Then speak about it. If you're not speaking, perhaps they don't approach correctly, they don't make salam, some are not doing sunnats, they don't look after the time, they're not considerate about the elders, etc. Then things that you observe, plan it out nicely with some story or some saintly person or a sahabi, present it nicely. Many times, young students, they receive it very well, but it's presented to them nicely. I was speaking some weeks back, I was speaking about the masjid, and the good deeds that you do is presented before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I don't know how many days in the week, but it's presented before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Where the Quran says, Arsalnaka Shahidan, that we have made you a witness, right? So he's a witness also to the actions of the Ummah because the deeds are presented before him. So much so that even you picked up a small particle from the masjid, quzat, even that is present before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So after the bayan, I saw quite a few students picking up some dirt side, that side. So you present it to him nicely, inshallah, they got iman, they would accept. If not all, some would do it.
A female is in an aeroplane and she needs to take a compulsory bath. What should she do to perform salah?
Not haram. Perhaps a wet dream something came up, right? So, just something that happened real, right? You know, I used to go to students in India, all that. So one student, after he returned, he told me, you know, I need to have a compulsory bath. But I went into the plain toilet and had a compulsory bath and did my namaz. Where there's a will, there's a way. You do it. My first time, you know, for Arafat, it is sunnah to take ghusl. I think how to do, you know, Salafi can maghrib is a little bit off. So I thought, I took that 1 liter bottle, you know, 1.5 liter oil. So I took about 3 bottles of that. And I went between the buses, nobody there. About the closest person from me is about 50, 60 meters. So I had the lower garment and I washed, right? And then the lower part of the body, easy to wash. So about 3 liters was sufficient for me to have the sunnah husal on the place of Arafat. So as the will, there's a way, you can do it.
I try to stay away from la ya'ni. But sometimes people that I need to respect are engaging in this. What should I do?
You move away. Respect them, right? So you move away. If, for example, the person that you respect, right? And now he pulled out one dacha, and he was siddha. Move away. So similar here, he's doing something wrong now, you get up and move away.
I noticed that during tawaf, men and women's shoulders touch. Is this correct or not?
Not at all right. Not at all right. You're getting more guna than getting some sawab. Rather do a little less tawaf, but do it the right way. See, I mentioned that after asr, my ummah is going to be blessed unless and until they respect this place, that is Haram Sharif. Now, you're doing haram inside the Haram Sharif. When you do it, you can do it right on the outside or the first floor, second floor, and do it. Do less tawaf, but don't get yourself involved in looking at haram or doing haram. One person told me, you know, a long time he told me, you know, the girls there from all different countries. You know, you get mesmerized, he's telling me. Now, what must do? Tell me, think to yourself, in the same spot, all the Anbiya alayhi salam had set foot, including Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba ikiram, Awliya ikiram, Aham jaysa gunegar be coming here, and be missing the whole place. let your mind be consumed with that thought, whose foot was here? You know, we say that even that dust under their foot, not even worth that. And you're doing all this, a display of such, you know, such great haram. How can you do such a thing? Now you allow yourself, your mind to be consumed with the respect of the people that were here, then you'll be a different person altogether. Otherwise now, rather, learn that adab first, learn taqwa and then come to the place. You did your first search now, learn taqwa, learn adab, and then you come, now it's going to be a different experience altogether. But you didn't learn all these things here, you're just coming repeatedly. See? Then you'll miss yourself and you'll miss the place as well.
Is it permissible to attend a gathering wherein there's little bit of intermingling for the sake of maintaining family ties?
The one that commanded family ties, he commanded that don't intermingle. What? The one that spoke about family ties, he emphasized not to intermingle. So if these people are breaking and violating the command of Allah Ta'ala, then how can you even ask to sit with them? They're violating, they're destroying the command of Allah. Can you sit imagine now? People say, no, ulama-i kiram are sometimes emotional. By understanding perspective, then you appreciate. I ask you, right, if someone is insulting your mother, you know, your mother, she was a loose woman, you know, she was with that, that escort agency, she was to sell herself and all that. And I said, no, don't worry, be calm, composed. Will you be calm and composed? See? Will you be that? You'll blow the person, right? Won't you do something? So the ulama-i kiram, ulama-i haq, right? They get more irritated when the sanctity of the sharia is being violated. Like you get upset when the sanctity of your mother is violated, they get even more disturbed when the sanctity of the sharia is being violated. Now understand in perspective. You don't understand in perspective, oh, he's a very emotional character, he just blows his top. Right, let me spare your mother, let's see what happens. Then why are you blowing your top then?
Is Oasis Sharia compliant pension funds permissible?
See, all these questions do come up, right? So our general standard answer is, show us exactly their workings, where they're investing, how they're earning, how they're running the whole business, then we can tell you. If we don't know how they're running, how can we sanction something that we don't know?
Is it permissible for a woman at home to purchase fruits, etc., from a selling woman during Jummah time?
We won't say it's haram because the Jummah is not compulsory for a woman. But Fatawa Rahimiya, Abdurrahim Sahib Rajpuri, very great alim, it is for the sanctity of the Jummah. We don't do all these things here. We're living in a Muslim minority, so it's to some level you must show the sanctity of this day. Don't become the Jew that broke the sanctity of the big day and they were converted to monkeys, right? So there's some sanctity in every level, wherever you can, however you can, but maintain the sanctity. I was Mufti Sahib explaining that one person in Bombay, his way was that he will come early to the masjid on a Friday, 2-3 hours, read Surah Kaf, Salat al-Tasbih, Quran Sharif, and whatever Durood Sharif he needs to read. And then he'll only open his business after the Jummah namaz. That was his standard. Very wealthy person used to be ordering containers, you know. So he received a container of pins without the head, you know, a needle without the head. Now that thing is not worth anything. A needle without the head. He's wondering now if he's sending it back to China, I'm going to do it, they'll accept it, they won't accept it. Not even 5 minutes passed, one person came, he says, you got that needle without that head, call your price, take it. Double the price, and he sold the whole container. But rosy is in our corner. Show the sanctity, show the respect. Right? Even if you incur a little bit of loss, but your iman is on what? On what you see, or in the treasure of Allah Ta'ala. The first verse in the Quran, yu'minuna bil-ghayb, but we believe in the unseen. So you trust in him, take that step and see how Allah will reward you.
If a person makes ghibat about someone, his sawab will go to that person. Is there any way he can get his sawab back?
What is gone is gone. But you can make tawbah and istighfar and multiply your sawab. This year for Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. So, tahajjud, and someone came to get him up. So he looked around, who is this person? So he grabbed the person, who are you? No, I'll just tell you, missed out your tahajjud. I didn't want you to miss your tahajjud again. But don't digress, I want to know, but who are you? No, don't worry, I got you up as a friend. But who are you? Mr. Iblis, Shaitan. But what business you had to get me off of tahajjud? Said, you know, yesterday you missed out tahajjud. And you cried so much, that Allah elevated you. Now you will cry again. Then you'll be wara'ul wara. You'll be far, far ahead. So I said, let me break up a little bit easy with you. Let me get you for tahajjud so that you don't get too high. So it's crying, asking, begging for Allah, compensating. Allah loves that. When Allah closed the door, did he ever close the door for you? Yeah? Cry, try, ask, beg. They are simple procedures. Allah loves that. Yeah? That crying, he loves it too much. The Jamaat people, they got approach, right? They got style. So they are working somewhere. I remember in Tunis somewhere. And Gush, an old chacha, and he's drunk a little bit. So, oh, he must come. He's not fully intoxicated, but a little bit, you can see the smell is there. So now they were a style. They said, Anta Abuna, Anta Kabiruna, you are elder, you are father, please come to the masjid. So it's a style and a sincerity, they got him to the masjid. When they got him to the masjid, I did everything, it was normal, he had a bath, clean, no smell. So the Amir Sahib says, at about 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning, I heard someone, it's dark, the masjid is dark, and I can hear someone sobbing and crying miserably, very bitterly. So I said, hey, this man is crying so bitterly, I will just gap in and make amin with him. I'll get blessed. So the same man that was drinking, he is crying today. Crying. And in that state he passed away. So he died as a shaheed for the love and the fear of Allah Ta'ala. So what a beautiful death. So Allah Pak didn't close the door, but is there that sincere love, that fear for Allah Ta'ala? Is there one of them? You have Malik bin Dinar, right? And what he was first, and then how he became the wali of the time. But what was he? He was also drinking. And then he became the wali of his time. So you try and you cry and you beg Allah Ta'ala, he'll open the door.
In Gujarati, there is a saying that when a girl gets married, then her janaza should leave that house. Firstly, is this saying correct, and should it be practiced if the girl is being abused physically?
It's not only Gujarati. All communities should say that. I know a lot of people from Masjid, all of them are dead and gone. Different languages, but that used to be the parting advice to the daughters. So some things are expressions, idiomatic expressions. They're not supposed to be treated literally, right? You know, you're just trying to impress upon the person. What's the idea here? The idea is, by small things, don't break this home. Make this home, right? The husband didn't give you what you wanted, right? You wanted, for example, chops, and he gave you curry khichdi. So now, don't make that an issue. Make that house work, right? And gradually, that house will take shape. But every small thing you wanted, your way, and then you say, no, that this husband is very cruel to me, then the house will never work. That's what this statement is what he's referring to. Yes, if it is really that he is really a monster, right? He's a monster. For example, he's not allowing you to perform namaz, right? He wants you to come out of the house and you mustn't be clad correctly. Then yes, definitely you must complain and get it right. And you can't, he must separate you. Because you are supposed to be for your husband, not an admiration for people. So he's corrupt himself. So you can't corrupt your life because of his corruption. As I say, Allah Ta'ala's law takes precedence over everything else. He's totally corrupt now. What are you going to do? There's no other option. The smaller things, overlook it.
When a child is born, who is the best person to give the child a name? The father, the mother, or the sheikh?
So the Quran says, "Antaradim minhuma." In irada fisalan, antaradim minhuma. You know, they want to meet the child, then with mutual consent, the wife and the husband. But Islam is not about fighting and showing a point. It's, you know, I will drive the point. See that? Meaning the child, antaradim minhuma. Let it be done with mutual consent.
There are two partners running a shop. At the time of Jummah, one partner goes to the masjid and the other one runs the shop and he goes for salah to a later masjid. Is this correct?
You will not say it's totally haram, but it's not right. Because the first azan in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to be before the minbar, right? First azan. Then what we call the first azan is actually the second azan. Because that was introduced in the day of Hazrat Usman at a place called Zora, right? So when you saw now the population of Medina has grown and the voice is not preaching, so he introduced that second azan. So all the ulama are unanimous that trade, etc., is haram from the time of the first azan. Trade anything that will distract you from your salah, that becomes haram. So from the first azan, they stop everything. We're living in a Muslim minority. Show some sanctity, some respect, something to this day. You want that also to be taken away. No respect, this money, you know, money after body, body after money. Make the money my friend. No money, no friend. So don't corrupt your mind. Anything to do with Islam and deen, just show it that respect, that azmat. In the day of Mullah Qasim Sahib Nanatwi Rahmatullah, the founder of Dawud Diyoban, he's seeing one Hindu in Jannat now. Great wali, great alim, and he's seeing this Hindu in Jannat. So, one word that they normally address the Hindus in India, Lalaji. Lalaji, tum ya kya kar rahe ho? You lost yourself here. You came inside. He said, no, I had accepted Islam. So what happened? He says, some years before I could die, my child was eating in the month of Ramadan. At the time of Rosa, I slept and spanked and messed. But Tamiz, you got no respect for the days of Ramadan. Don't you see all our fasting? So Allah Pak liked that. And I accepted Islam. But for the 2-3 years, I kept it a secret. So Allah Pak gave me a death on Islam. But because of what? Respect. Now that respect also I'm going to show you. The respect only for money. What is yours, you will definitely get. Nobody can take away.
Is it permissible to take part in a qiraat competition?
By the recitation was for tadabbur. Inna fi zalika la ibra. Right. Now here, you are competing to take a lesson, to take heed, or to beat the next person, to compete the next person. Ask yourself. Salanti Masla, they say competitions, Shami got it, other books of fiqh also got it, that competitions are only permissible for three people. You know, you're competing, I'm competing with you. So this type of competition is only allowed in three cases. That means a competition coming with a reward. One is archery, right? One is horse racing, not about jua handicap, please. The racing for the sake of jihad. Right? And the third is you racing on foot. So jihad also require that. So this three type is an exception to the rule. But any other race, any other competition coming with a reward, Lama Shami says is not permissible.
Person is asking by adding the words Maulana and Sayyidina in the 40 durood, will be, does not be considered as making ziyadati in Sahih Hadith.
Your father's name is Ismail, right? Right. So, do you address your father with Ismail? Abba, my respected father, don't you say that words? Well, Maulana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had taken bi'at at the hands of Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So Hazrat Haji Sahib repeated the said the words, bi'at deta hun imdadullah ke haath ke upar. Maulana Gangohi Sahib, he says that he was a modis of the time and there was no match to him. Even Maulana Abdul Hadi Lakhnavi, everybody, they recognize him about the highest in hadith and in fiqh. They say that if Imam Abu Hanifa's kitabs were out complete, he could have written that kitab. So his level was so high. So when he's accepting him for bayat, and Haji Sahib is prompting him the words, bayat leta hun imdadullah ke haath par. So he says, the bayat leta hun Hazrat Imamuna wa Sayyiduna Haji Imdadullah Sahib ke haathon ke upar. Haji Sahib said, kya taajjub ki baat hai ki kitno mein se ek hoshyar aadmi nikal aaya. So many people, you find one intelligent person. Why give me 10 minutes? For some words, I said, out of love and respect, right? And overall, these words may appear somewhere in the Quran. Somewhere, see? So you cannot say it's a total distortion, no. وَأَلْفَ يَا سَيِّدَهَا لَدَ الْبَابِ. Who they met? وَأَلْفَ يَا سَيِّدَهَا لَدَ الْبَابِ. Who they met? So the wife and Yusuf alayhi salam are running, right? And who they met up with? Master. So what word was used? سَيِّدَهَا. Her master. Right? If Nabi salam was here, if he was here, any of us would have addressed him, O Muhammad, you would address him that way. Then, لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. You don't address Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as you address each other. You address others with name, right? Yusuf, Ismail, Ahmad. But you address him, you're not going to address him by name. لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كَدُعَى بَعْدِكُمْ بَعْدَى. بعضی چیزیں تو سمجھ کے ساتھ اس کا تعلق ہے. Some things are related to understanding. Understanding and the usage, right? Like, for example, in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Huraira was called Abu Huraira, right? But today when we talk about Abu Huraira, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, when we say that, but in that day, it wasn't like that. So is it a ziyati? What is ziyati? So why we do it? Because the urf, the usage requires that we use these words to show respect. Your ustad is now, say Ismail. So you say Ismail came to the class. Otherwise now, it says ziyati from his birth name. The mother kept his name Ismail, making ziyati. So you say, Hazrat Maulana has arrived to the class. When you say that? So some things are of urf. And the urf requires, it's required to show it, to show some level of respect. Right.
Is one allowed to listen to anashid and nazams for entertainment without knowing the meaning?
Some anashid, some people should put it on here, you know. It's like a ringtone. So we stop them. Because people feel anything comes in Arabic is jais. Why it's in Arabic? But it's got the same singing tone of any other song. Same rhythm. In Dada Fatawa, in the 6th volume, when you are singing something, but on musical notes, you know how the musical notes, it's not permissible. Whether it's in Urdu, whether it's in Arabic, whichever.
After the dars is finished, we leave the class and we leave our kitabs open to read after the break, is this disrespect to leave the kitab open?
It's better that you close the kitab. But if there's a need now to keep it open for some reason, then it's not wrong.
Few questions have come with the same meaning, that a person is addicted to zina or addicted to misusing himself. What is the recipe to allow him to refrain from this?
Make nikah. Make nikah. Man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj.
If a girl gives you a chain, is it permissible to use it or not?
Ask yourself, if your father gave a chain to his girlfriend, is it acceptable to you? Or your mother gave a chain to her old boyfriend, would that be acceptable? So, why is it acceptable for you and not acceptable for her? Around that side, around this side as well. You don't put the person on the spot, his brain's no problem.
The brother says that I have accepted Islam in 2022 and made effort on my family. Alhamdulillah, they have come onto deen, but they are not really practicing. What can I do to get them to practice Islam?
The same things that we spoke about. Sometimes take them in jamaat, get the jamaat to speak to them. 1 day, 2 days, shabguzari. Right? Sometimes you read a kitab before them, some zikr before them. Their hearts open up, but slowly, gradually. You can't write them off, work on them. They have taken one step into Islam. Now, let's make it easy for them. Encourage them somehow. Make dua for them.
This person says, a friend of mine has become an atheist because Islam says that everything is predestined and he believes that there is a test of life. So how should I help him to overcome this argument?
Something being destined is not for you to experiment. What? No. It's not for you to experiment. Everything is destined, right? So you jump from a 40-floor building. Destiny, you jump. So the destiny is not for you to go and experiment. It's not for you to experiment. Why it is there? It is to show you the perfection of the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. Not for you to go and experiment it. Right? And I ask you, everything is destined, right? So, then is there a need for you to work? Destined now. So, you're supposed to be getting 50,000 rand in a month. You'll get it. So why work? You'll get it. So you know it's destined, but I have to work for it. You know it's destined. Everything is destiny, right? You know if you break the law, they put you into prison, right? So you say now, if it's destined now, I'll go to prison. Do you have that approach? You know, it's madness. You don't experiment the destiny, you don't experiment it. Otherwise, you will break the law and go into prison. Any person is going to do that.
This person is saying, I hurt my sheikh many times and let him down numerous times. Is there anything that I can do to win his heart again?
A lot of things. When Allah's door of acceptance is open all the time, the sheikh also, he is now like a reflection of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, a minuscule of a reflection. He'll open his heart, you try, cry, work, his heart will open up, inshallah.
This will be the second last question, inshallah. Is there any issue with eating prawns? Should one eat prawns or not?
You know, in the 1970s and 80s, like this was the main question that was being asked. When the alim came, prawns, jinga ka khana kaisa hai. And Mara Umarji's one standard answer used to be, but you're living without prawns, aren't you? Carry on living. You are saying salam, but you're living without it, so live without it.
This person said that I've noticed that Hazrat Mufti Sahib used to go for Umrah every year previously. Now he doesn't go for Umrah anymore. Is there any lesson we can take from this?
You reach my age, and you're going to stop with that. Or at my age, then you're going to leave, inshallah. If you did your hajj and all that. Imam Malik, rahmatullahi, for approximately 25 years, if he didn't perform his namaz in the Masjid Nabawi. First, he wouldn't read his Faraz namaz, he would read at home. Then he even left out going for Jummah to the Masjid for approximately 25 years. So he was asked now that you're not attending the Masjid. He said there are some excuses that can't be explained to everybody. But some, because he's an imam, everybody says he's an imam. But there are some reasons that you can't explain to all and sundry.